Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Springtime, and that means spring revival at the Pilgrim Baptist Church, 410 Solomon Street, with host pastor Reverend Tom Hamilton. Special guest revivalist will be the renowned Reverend Dr. John Montgomery.
Oh, the enemy deceived her. And he told her that if you eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, ye will not surely die. And she said that the serpent beguiled her, and Adam said, the woman you gave me messed me up. And God said, no, the problem is you have both misunderstood and misrepresented.
Dr. John Montgomery Sr., pastor of the Greater King David Missionary Baptist Church of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Dr. Montgomery has international TV and radio ministry heard daily, locally, in Florida and the Bahamas. Revival begins Wednesday, April 9th through Friday, April 11th at 7 p.m. nightly. Dr. Montgomery is a dynamic preacher, teacher that has led many to salvation and through the Word has enhanced the lives of countless men and women. Come and be blessed by the preaching Word of Dr. John Montgomery at the Pilgrim Missionary Baptist Church, Reverend Tom Hamilton, 410 Solomon Street, Wednesday, April 9th through Friday, April 11th, 7 p.m. nightly. Hope to see you there.
In presence of the Lord, gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the blessed and wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we thank you for this privilege and this honor to once again be in your presence, to experience this fellowship among the saints, for the glory that Jesus has risen and is alive. We say thank you. Lord, we know that because he lives, the best is yet to come for every believer who is in the body of Christ. And so, Lord, we celebrate this day. And we celebrate not only as individuals, but as the body of Christ for the goodness that you've prepared for us. And so, Lord, as we prepare to enter into this word today, we pray that you would allow the Holy Ghost in his perfect preaching, teaching ministry to meet us right where we are, to minister to our needs and to minister to us in such a way that we will know after being in this fellowship today that he lives so that we might live all the more and in his abundance. We ask it all now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You'll turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Acts chapter 17. book of Acts, chapter 17. I want us to commence reading, if you will, at verse 23. Paul is speaking and he says, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in his presence. Just a little while, I want to talk this morning about he lives. What does that mean to you? He lives. What does that mean to you? First of all, my brothers and sisters, as we celebrate this wonderful day of Jesus' resurrection and Jesus being alive, it is a day refreshed in the hearts and the minds of the believers about that day of salvation we have once experienced with the Lord in our initial encounter with him, and how it originally and forever changed our lives. And so every time we come to this day of celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, it brings us to another point, another elevation in our revelation of what his being alive means to us. Well, you know, salvation, the initial point and entrance into the family of God, is where most saints and most believers stop. It's amazing why I understand, but for so long did not understand, why believers did not really get the full understanding and the message of what Resurrection Sunday really means. I know nearly 2,000 years ago, he got up that Sunday morning, early that Sunday morning, and to some of you, that's just old news. To some of you, that's stale. For some of you, that's just going through the motions. But I would agree with that if salvation and simply being saved were all that was to it. And even if that were all to it, that still would be something to shout about over and over again when you realize without him, a hell that was prepared for Satan and his angels would have also been made for you, since there would not have been a savior to redeem you from that plan. But it is so much more that God offers to us in this salvation that we've experienced through the Lord Jesus, so much more that many of us miss out on, and that's why Easter is no more than fine clothes and pretty hats to most of us. That's why it's no more than Easter Bunny and candies to most of us. That's why it's just going to church on one of those Sundays, those of you who don't come but a few times a year come. It's because you really don't realize what it's entailed, what is involved, and what it means for the believer. Now let's look at the word, because I want to go back, if you will, and just set this up. Let's go back to John, if you will, chapter 14. Now look at John chapter 14. Jesus is preparing the disciples. And this is what he says in verse 19 of the 14th chapter of St. John. "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live. Ye shall also live. Now listen to what he's saying to them now. He says, in a little while the world who does not understand him, who does not receive him, who does not really know him, will no longer see him, because he's going to go by way of Calvary to lay down his life. But when he lays down his life, they're going to think that that's the end of his life. And because they really don't know that he came down to lay down his life, that after 3 days he's going to take his life back up again. Now, they are not really going to see him. And that's not just about the resurrection experience, because Jesus is talking about so much more than just seeing him in the flesh. He's not talking about just seeing him the 40 days that he rises and walks among planet Earth before he catches a cloud back to heaven and goes to be with the Father. He's talking about seeing them in the faith realm. Seeing them on a whole nother level. He's talking about seeing them in the spirit realm, which is so far so much more important than just looking at him physically. So I want you to look at John 16 and verse 16 and see what Jesus says. He says, and he's talking about the prediction of his death and resurrection, he says, a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Now I want you to turn to Hebrews right quick, the first chapter, and I want you to look at verse 3. Now keep in mind what Jesus has said, and God has based everything of that he has said upon his word. Matter of fact, let's begin at verse 1, and it says, God, who at sundry or many times and in divers or various manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Here's verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, that's the Calvary experience and then resurrection morning, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now keep in mind what the writer of the Hebrews has just said. He's just made clear that everything that exists and everything that is hinged upon the word of God is hinged upon the power of his word. He has spoken by his word. God has used Jesus Christ to be the word personified, and then the revelation of what shall happen from Jesus onto eternity is held up by the power of his word. Now, if you understand the word, and if you understand, as we go back to Acts chapter 17, the word says in verse 16, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and had determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Everything that is here, everything that will be, has been ordered and organized by the Lord, has been appointed for a set time, has been given a boundary out of which and over which no man can pass. And only what we do in the time that we have will determine our destiny and where we spend eternity. You didn't have nothing to do with your coming here. And you won't have a whole lot to do with your leaving here. But what you do have to do with is the time between your coming and your going. That's the only thing that you really got to say so in. And it is in this time that you begin to understand what God has placed in your privileged position and presence, so that you can reach and reap the benefits of being a born-again believer, and knowing that what God offers to you is not just for this side. The best, listen to me well, that you can receive on this side cannot even compare to what he's got on the other side. And a whole lot of us are not even experiencing the best on this side. We don't even know the joys of the best of God's blessings here, many of us. We don't even know how to walk in authority on this side. We don't even know how to speak those things that be not, and they've got to come to pass according to the word and our faith on this side. We don't know how to utilize the gifts and ministry that God has given to us that will be of non-effect on the other side. And a whole lot of us are missing out because we really don't know that because he lives, we benefit because we live in him. Now I want to walk through the text a little bit and show you some things. So hopefully when you think about he who is alive forevermore and we are in him, then it'll help us to change many of the thinkings of our own pursuit. Look again at what the word says in verse 27. Now the reason he has made all of this, verse 27 says, that they should seek the Lord. Somebody say, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord if haply. And that means very simply the hope that they might feel after him. Now, I think maybe some of you may know that just because you find him in salvation does not mean that the seeking stops. Because salvation, in finding him in salvation, simply opens up the door.
Yes, sir.
Well, now, what have you just opened up the door to? You've opened up the door to his storehouse. So that means then, if you found him, you have been privileged to come inside the door. But he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And just imagine yourself walking in the most beautiful mansion you've ever seen, and the furthest you've gotten was just inside the door. And you stand there in awe and just look around and don't realize you're not limited to being just at the door, but you can walk in and walk around and you can experience the beauty and the glory of this mansion, but all you've done was just got inside the door sills and just stood there. That's all that happens inside of salvation, because there is so much more that he offers to us, but because we don't understand the word or don't know the word or don't apply the word, we don't have the benefits of the word. So keep this in mind. He says that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel. Now this word feel comes from another word that says grope, which means to feel. I think all of us have had the experience one time or another, have gotten up in the dark and was feeling for the light switch, walked into the house and maybe the lights were cut off, energy introduced you to click.
What you say?
Or Demco or Cleco or whomever. And so then you groping around the house. But do you ever notice how you walk when you grope? I'm gonna help somebody just in the midst that you have not experienced that. When you grope, you don't walk like this. That's not how you grope. When you grope, you walk like this. You don't want to walk too fast because you don't want to stumble on something. Now here's also the inference here. You're groping or trying to feel your way through a place you don't know. It ain't like going in your house and you know where everything is, and you know if you're pretty clean, you know you got a clear pathway. But some of you be groping with the lights on at your house. I'm sorry, I ain't trying to get up in your business. But listen at the word now, because I want you to see this. That they should seek the Lord if perhaps they might feel. Feel. I mean with an intense search, arms stretched out wide, trying to find him. Listen at this. Groping. Groping unnerves you because it takes you out of your comfort zone. And may I suggest to you that some of you might not ever get beyond where you are because you are too proud to grope for the Lord. Well, if he don't come to me, if he don't show up in my face, I guess I won't see him because I'm not groping for him.
It means to push beyond your place of comfort and seek him with arms stretched out wide, because you're trying to touch him. You're trying to get to him. You want to feel him. Listen at this. I want you to see something else. It says, and conjunction, find him. Which means the seeking doesn't stop. The groping doesn't stop until you find him. Now, I might tell you this, my brothers and sisters, because here's what you need to know. That every level, you've got to find him again. Because he takes you to a new place and he brings you to another place where you're not comfortable at. And you're still seeking him and you're still, oh Lord, here we go again. But you're going to find out that as you seek him and as you reach out for him, the text gives us a helpful holy hint. It really sets us up to shout, because the truth of the matter, it says that we're going to find him, but not beyond that just in itself. But the word says something else that I think you need to see. It says, though he be not far from every one of us. Though he be not far from every one of us. Though he be not far from every one of us. And what does that say? You don't have to be the pastor, the deacon. You don't have to be the treasurer. You don't have to be the teacher. You don't have to be the choir member. You don't have to be nobody in position. You just have to be a born again child of God. And he is as close to you as he is to me. To every one of us. Listen at this. The only way you don't find him is if you don't seek him. And you might say, well, I sought the Lord. Well, my question to you is, did you find him? And you say, well, no, I didn't find him. Well, then you didn't really seek him. You looked for him. Y'all catch that on your way going back home. Seeking connected with it was finding. Seeking is always incomplete until it finds what it has sought after. And I'm trying to tell you, if you're seeking after God, you have to do that to get in. But once you get in, you got to seek where he is to find him. And once he brings you to the place of comfort on one level, and then he prepares you to go to another level, it continuously happens over and over again so that you do not become comfortable with where you are in Christ. Now, the reason why folk can't celebrate is because they've become too comfortable on an elementary level. You know, if you talk about, I mean, math or English or science or any other subject on an elementary level and you far surpass that, it doesn't excite you. That does not challenge you, that will not change you, or that does not charge you, does not move you. And so a whole lot of you have been hailed to another place in the Lord so that you can seek him, find him, and know that he's not far. Why, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. Look at the word, verse 28. For in him, somebody say in him. Now that's relationship. That's relationship. In him. That means that this does not happen for those who are not born again. In him qualifies the believer only for this truth. It says, we live. Now Jesus already told the disciples, I live, and because I live, you also shall live. Now remember, everything that is held up by his word. Now listen to this. The word says, for in him we live. That's the first thing. We have life. And I'm not talking about natural life. I'm talking about spiritual life. I'm talking about the essence of what real life is made of. I'm talking about life as is in Jesus Christ. Now here's what you've got to know, because if we are in him, then that means that we are made of the substance of him. Listen to me well. If we live in him, then that means what is of him is in and of us. Keep the picture going now. If we are in him, the powers that he possesses, we possess also. If we are in him, the record is that he is heir of all things. If he is heir of all things, and we are joint heirs, connected with him on equal terms, then that means whatever Jesus has, I got it also. Oh, somebody's not hearing me here. So in him I live. And listen at this, because when we think about live, we think about it most times at the debased sense of understanding, at the pseudo layer. And that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about the mechanics of life, not the functions of life, breathing and going through the motions. That's the baser end of life. He's not talking about the mechanics of life. He's talking about the dynamics of life. He's talking about being so glad you're alive that life just flows through you and you're excited about the goodness and expectation and the miracles of the Lord. You get up every morning and you're excited because you don't know what's going to happen. But whatever's going to happen, it's all right, because he's promised you that all things shall work together for good for those that love him, for those who are the called. You don't care what the devil throws your way. God's got this thing fixed. You don't get upset because of what you're going through, because of you. He looks at you, you look at him, and he reminds you you're going through to get to. And you'll never get to what you're going to unless you go through what you're going through. Why is this happening to me? Because you're going somewhere. I heard somebody say the Lord don't waste his trials and tribulations on nobody who ain't going nowhere. If you're going through somebody right about going through something, somebody right now ought to shout, because you're going through something. If the devil been messing with your mind, messing with your spirit, messing with your heart, messing with your finances, messing with your family, you need to get excited, because God's getting ready to take you to. I understand what David said when he said, yay, though I walk through the valley, I'm on my way somewhere. Oh, bless his name. Sit down in the dome. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm going to something. Touch the other one, tell him, I'm going to something. Or just say to yourself, self, I'm going to something. I'm sick and tired of nothing and nowhere, and if I got to go through to get to it, it's all right. Oh, bless his holy name with me. So listen again, listen. For in him we live. The devil wants to keep your mind on your frustrations, on your faults, on your failures, on your fractures. Well, the Lord wants you to keep your eyes on him. In him is everything that you need. In him. And the devil is trying to pull you out of him, away from him, so that you cannot live. I got news for you, that you live even when stuff around you is dead. I'm trying to tell you, when you are called to life, you can be in the midst of a graveyard situation. And when God calls you, when the Lord calls your name, listen, even if you are amongst dead folk, you don't act dead. And you can't participate with the dead. And sooner or later, you're going to be released from the dead. If you don't believe me, just read John where he called Lazarus. And I got news for you. There is a place where they lock dead folk in so that dead folk can't come out.